Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing great. We want you Wednesday. We want to talk about how you can level your career up. Last week, we talked a little about how I did it, but I want to be able to go through some different tactics that you can do if you find yourself underemployed, underpaid, underappreciated. So let's take a quick commercial break. Come right back with the details. All right, let's dive right in here. You're feeling undervalued. Number one thing is, in order to test your value in the marketplace, it doesn't hurt to reach out to a headhunter, a recruiter, a competitor, and go talk with them. See what you're worth on the open marketplace. At the same time, remember, you have a certain set of skills that can translate over to a different industry, a different company, and that can get you to where you want to go. Maybe they treat you better from a compensation standpoint if you're out of, let's say, a nonprofit or government organization, right? So I have a buddy that works for the VA, the Veterans Administration, Veteran Affairs, on the hospital side. And he knows that if you were to take his skill sets to the private sector, he'd be worth a lot more than what's going on in the marketplace. So that's one thing of value to know about yourself is you might be in an industry that is underpaying you for what you're going to do. For example, in retail, if let's say you're driving a forklift, you know that if you're doing it at Walmart, they're going to pay you like 10 to 12 bucks an hour, depending on where you are in the country of the United States. But if you were to go to Costco in the United States, driving the exact same forklift, I don't know if it's the exact same forklift, but either way, having the exact same job duties, you're going to probably get somewhere close to around 18 to 26 bucks per hour. And that's because, again, that organization pays differently than what Walmart does. And so understand kind of where that might be in your particular setup or your particular industry, your particular company. You should know what you're worth in regards to the skills that you bring to the table. The other thing that I would say for a lot of times for people when it comes to their skills on the table is if you never kind of test the waters, don't just assume that you should be paid more just because you want to get paid more. I see this a lot of times with sales sales people and business development people, that they want to get paid serious income. When you look at what revenue they actually bring to the organization is less than their income. Right, so they're like, "Hey, I should be paid $10,000 a month," but they don't even bring in sales over $10,000 a month. Like even in the long term, right? Even after 3 years, there's still companies paid you $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 for the year. That's $360,000 for 3 years, and you've only brought in $100,000 worth of business. The company's lost a lot of money on you, and so that's really where you want to be able to understand, in your particular role, what true value can you bring to the table? And there are some things, yes, there are some things that you might do that's above and beyond driving revenue, but is that really part of what they need you to do? So for example, if you're a sales manager, you might be bringing less in on your own sales, but you're coaching and developing the team to deliver more. So for example, again, let's just use the example of the $10,000 a month for 3 years, $360,000 outlay, but you yourself did $80,000, but your team did $520,000. So you did a total between you and the team, $600,000, and they paid you $120. Now, you would say, well, then I'm totally, undervalued. Well, look at the overall profit margins, right? Because not every single piece of business that you bring in is 100% profit. So just understand where the cost line, that's going to be really important for someone to understand. So when it comes to the undervaluation, right? Underpaid. You don't feel like they're giving you enough money. Test the waters. Go talk to other people. Now that is a difficult conversation for a lot of people to have because they might realize that they're actually paid exactly what they're worth. And so if you still feel that you're underpaid, then see what can you do to increase your skill set. So if let's say, for example, you're in the insurance game and you can do life insurance and health insurance. Well, to increase your game, maybe you go and get a property and casualty insurance. Maybe you decide to get some securities license to be able to offer investments. So even though your firm might not be taking that of any value, other firms will see that of greater value. The other one is look at the market that you're serving. If you're serving low income, middle income market, then you're going to get low income, middle income income, unless you're just cranking it heavy, heavy on the quantity side. If you want to be earning more, you probably got to be selling higher ticket items. On the other skill set, so for someone that's necessarily, let's say, not in the sales realm, you're just more of an employee. Again, look at what you're doing in the organization. It used to be old school that you could go to an MBA program, a B school, a business school, and getting that MBA would be able to level you up and you demand a higher income. The reality right now is that the content taught in business schools typically is such general knowledge. A lot of times, that value is made up of experience in your particular industry or your particular company. And so sometimes right now we're seeing that the investment on the MBA school might not actually translate to a higher income for where you are, right? So it used to be very common. You get an MBA, you pay $120,000 and you were making $80 before. Now all of a sudden you're making $140 just because you got the MBA behind your name. We don't see that kind of correlation anymore. MBAs are becoming somewhat of a dime a dozen because it's general business knowledge. Yes, it's important, it's good, it's great, but does it actually translate to your particular industry or your particular skill set, right? So if you have an undergraduate degree in history or English and you want to get into the business world and have a dominating presence, then yes, an MBA is going to be crucial for your development because that English or history degree isn't going to be able to be of great value to you in the marketplace. Now, yes, I know that you could probably switch it around and have a conversation and really drive it, but the reality is for most people, when they see that degree and they match it with your experience, it doesn't necessarily maybe scream business expertise strategist, right? So again, go to where your skill sets are and go, what do I need to do in order to make myself more of greater value? So that means you might need to invest in yourself. You might need to do like a certificate or go after, you know, after hours, right? So if I'd say I'm a truck driver and so I got a CDL, are there other things that I could be doing? Maybe, you know, if I'm just going like local trips within my state, maybe I can go national. Maybe I can go international routes down to Mexico, up to Canada, right? And does that give me a greater drive of income? Or can I take a loan out, buy my own truck, and now I'm earning more money on the mileage that I'm putting in? There's different ways that you can set this up, but I know for a lot of people, a lot of times when it comes to your being underpaid, it's because you're lacking something, whether it's in your skills, your talents, or the old knowledge bank. And then finally, what people forget a lot, big time, is your people connections, right? If you're not people connected, there's really good odds you're going to continually be getting paid less than what you're worth because your network is just not going to drive you to those higher areas. Next thing, you feel underappreciated. I'm amazed at how many people will spend 40 hours a week with a micromanager, 40 hours a week with coworkers they can't stand, 40 hours a week at a job or an industry, a role that they know is beneath them, but they just bang it out because they got to cover their needs. And I respect that hustle. I respect that devotion. I would just say you got to start building a bridge to that next thing, man, because it is going to be such a grind. You're going to hate what you're doing. You're eventually going to hate your coworkers, and hate is a horrible emotion to have, especially in your career, especially for your professional development. Because there's really good odds if you hate the people you work with, you're not going to look for ways to go above and beyond, and your performance is going to be lackluster, and that's going to be readily seen. And so if you ask for a recommendation down the road, guess what? All your coworkers remember you as hating that organization or hating the boss. That was constantly the conversation that was coming out of your mouth every single lunch break, was how you hated the boss, how she was totally a micromanager. And that's what your coworkers remember you as. So before it becomes a toxic situation where you are the cancer of the organization, then you want to be able to make sure that you are figuring out how to get to that next level, so that way you can truly find appreciation and be appreciated for what you're doing. That's going to be an absolute differentiator in your career and your professional development. Find an organization and a leadership and a culture that's going to fill you to the brim and going to push you to get better. Now, that might mean a lateral move. That might be even taking a little bit less income to get to where you want to go. But you will find a much more happy situation, and a happy employee is a productive employee. And a productive employee is going to look for opportunities to add greater value to the organization, add greater value to their professional life. If you feel unappreciated as well, you might want to be talking to somebody. If you have a good relationship with someone at the organization higher up, like your boss or your boss's boss, you might just want to have a candid conversation with them and say, hey, can I have a candid conversation with you? I'm just not feeling appreciated. Now, you want to be able to answer. They might say to you, well, how do you want to be appreciated? If you want a pat on the back for doing your job, then you're probably not going to get that. Right? Not a lot of organizations are designed to give you appreciation for what they hired you to do. Now, if you go above and beyond for someone and you want recognition there, that's a different story, right? If let's say your organization had openings, and of the five openings, you've referred two or three of them to the organization, then maybe you should say something about, hey, what's our referral program here? I would love to be recognized for me being a team player in helping fill those positions by recommending my friends to join the organization. That's a different story than you saying, well, you know, I came in early. I thought someone would, like, you know, give me a pat on the back. No, you coming in early is you getting the job done. Underpaid, underappreciated, undervalued. So this is a unique one, right? Where you have a specific set of skills, and either the job or role that you're in is satisfying that, or there's an opportunity for opening in the organization and for your skill set to match that better. Now, your strongest organizations are going to be able to identify your specific set of skills and move you to where they could fully utilize your skill sets in the organization. Now, if an organization doesn't see that and it is willing to let you go, then it's an organization that you should be willing to let go of as well. Top talent will be given top dollar, not the best paid, but very competitive wage. Top organizations as well will find ways to utilize every stitch of your skill sets and your talents in the organization. And if they don't, then they are not an organization that's focused on truly maximizing all of their employees' skill sets. The other thing that I would say is, if you're at a culture where they interview you and talk about how they love your talents, how they're excited for you to come on board, and then they micromanage you to death, then they're not an organization that hires talent and then allows that talent to get the job done. So you want to be able to get away from those organizations, because they are a cancer to your overall development, because they will not truly allow you to deliver on what they hired you to begin with, okay? And so a good example of this one, I knew a guy, he was a regional sales representative, right? And the boss would literally, after they had conversations, they were required to send out, you know, CC emails to this boss. After conversations with other vendors, he would then say, hey, why don't you call me immediately afterwards, tell me how it went. And because he didn't necessarily trust the regional sales rep, he would ask other regional sales reps how that conversation went, or other people that were in the organization, or that were on that call, just to be able to spot check to see how that person was doing. So he was literally micromanaging the death out of this regional sales rep. Unfortunately for that boss, the regional sales rep just quit and retired early. So all of a sudden now there was a huge gap in that talent pool. And guess what? All that micromanaging, now that role and responsibility just fell on his plate. And now he had to do his job and that person's job. That's what you get for micromanaging. You are literally taking away the role that person was meant to do. So if you find yourself saying, hey, I have a lot of talents that aren't fully being utilized, find somewhere else to go. Find a different position within the organization. Find a different organization. If you find that you have a certain interest and passions in a different industry, again, time to be very candid with yourself and say, you know what? I've gotten a lot out of this industry. It's time for me to make a shift and go somewhere else. When you're able to have that kind of courageous conversation with yourself, and make those dramatic moves again for yourself, you're going to find extreme satisfaction that you're in control of your destiny. You're in control of where your career is headed. That's going to be powerful for you, not only now, but also into the future. So again, if you're finding yourself underpaid, underappreciated, undervalued, do not sit there, keep going in 40 hours a week, 50 weeks out of the year, taking your tiny 2 weeks of vacation, putting in 2,000 hours of time. You need to do something different. If not, you're going to find yourself extremely dissatisfied. You're going to find yourself career-wise wasting your time. And most importantly, you'll have delayed and dwarfed your professional development. Do not allow an organization, a culture, a boss, a coworker to hold you back on where you need to be professionally. Sherm's out.